back to Shattering Mist. Gentlemen, we have both Kirk and Glenn on the line. It is it's hard to disassociate the terrorist attacks, the mass murders on not only Charlie Hebdo magazine, but also the Jewish kosher deli in Paris, when Muslims all around the world are not only enraged and claiming that they were the ones wronged, as opposed to the victims, but are burning people alive inside of churches. What do you think, Glenn?
Yeah, obviously reprehensible. And this stuff, you know, is just definitely pathetic. But I actually was calling in to throw a curveball in today. Okay. Like, so we have that. But then, you know, it's a tough world out here for us, you know, insignificant goyim. Yeah, then we got a French rabbi advocating that Jews in France be allowed to carry guns. So it made me laugh. So instead of, you know, our Talmudist friends, disciples of Sabbatai Zvi, Jacob Frank, and David Ben Yochai, ever ready to remind us that we're not part of their special racial grouping and that they should be accorded special privilege, such as women not being screened at airports and, you know, French Jews being able to carry guns and an otherwise gun-free zone. You know, it's like, oh, gee, thanks. Instead of advocating a Second Amendment-type legislation for the rights of all in France to protect themselves, it's like, oh, no, just us. No, thanks. We don't really care about you, Graham.
So it is. You know, it's kind of puts us in a difficult spot here, Glenn. I too, am Goyim. I'm a blend of Sioux Indian and Irish. And that's really a terrible blend. You know, the Irish wants to drink all the time, and the Sioux gets drunk with two whiffs of a drink. So that's a terrible mess. But the realization is that the Yisrael, the children of Yisrael, are special. That God calls them special. They are unique amongst all people. They are Yahweh's chosen people. And there is no question that they're intellectually superior to most of us. Now, that doesn't mean that every Yehudim is smarter than every Goyim, but I'm not saying that. But collectively, there is a disproportionate number of the world's great scientists, great inventors, great achievers that have been Jewish, members of Yisrael. And Yahweh clearly favors Yisrael over all nations in the world and is going to reconcile his relationship with his people. That said, you know, this notion that they're uniquely privileged as a race in nations is preposterous. And Yahweh favors them. But they're not, they deserve no favor in France. Go ahead, Kirk.
No, I was just going to say one of the reasons that they've excelled as well is because they've been so literate the whole time as well.
I think so.
From day one, you know, they read, they studied, they put a heavy emphasis on becoming educated. So that helps as a culture. I mean, if you tell your kids, you know, to do nothing but play ball, then, you know, what are you going to do? You can't compete. So, and the Asians now are the same way. They view education as the way to get there.
Yeah. So. And Glenn, you know, I wouldn't have a problem with the Jews saying we need special protection. If they said it because they recognize that the Quran and Hadith call out Jews as the primary enemies of Allah and of Muslims. If they discuss the Mein Kampf nature of the Quran and said, because Muslims now represent, you know, such a high percentage of Europe and are becoming so overtly murderous that they require some special protection, you know, then there would be cause and effect. But they didn't say that at all. They just want Jews to be treated differently and to be able to have guns.
And this, well, it would be them, I would think, to and, you know, enlist the favor of the rest of the populace, you know, and Christians, you know, worshiping an admittedly Jewish savior, whatever you want to do with that. I mean, Christians shouldn't be anti-Semitic or anti-Jewish because they're worshiping a Torah-observant Jew. You know, and so if you wanted, you know, it seems to me it'd be wiser to advocate Second Amendment rights for all, and, you know, knowing that, hey, your Christian neighbor may well save you from a Muslim attacker someday if he is too as well armed. So, you know, I got to wonder about the role of the Rothschilds in Europe, because they, you know, you talk about Jewish influence and power in the banking business. How exactly is it that these European governments, so heavily influenced by Jewish, you know, in people, Jewish people of great influence, especially the bankers and stuff, how is it that they came to admit so many of these Muslims in the first place? It almost seems like, you know, it's almost like fomenting this has been deliberate by allowing this infiltration.
Yeah, I'm going to challenge the Rothschild importance. You know, I understand that there was a period of time where the Rothschilds were uniquely powerful and rich and involved as bankers, and that they are attributed with the idea of having France, for example, and England fight one another so that both would borrow money from them. And I'm sure that for as much to have been written about that, there's some truth to it. But for the most part today, the banks that matter are not Rothschild inspired banks. The banks that matter today are the central banks of nations like the United States, Germany, England, France, and also the international banks that are an amalgamation of the central banks like the U.S. Federal Reserve, the International Monetary Fund, and the World Bank, I think are vastly more influential. And I would even go so far as to say that today I don't think the central banks are as influential as the politicians. I think politicians today are more influential than are the bankers. But lastly, the other aspect of that is that there is this myth, I think, Glenn, that Jews are protective of other Jews and of Israel. Now, one of the things that I learned in my trip to Israel is how the Jewish world is divided between what they call Israelis and particularly American and European Jews. And the American and European Jews do not like Israelis. And Israelis are disgusted by. They really demean and do not like U.S. and European Jews. And the other is that I don't think there's any race that has been so self-inflicting of wounds. I mean, the realization is there would be no Islam had rabbis in Yathrib not loaned money to Muhammad and then charged him for their Talmud readings. If they hadn't shared the Talmud with them, the Quran would have been nothing but a plagiarized Yemeni surahs with some childish food fight thrown into it. Been nothing to it. So they're self-inflicting in many of their wounds. Like when they came into Israel and said, you know, 1948, we want the Muslims to be part of our country, to have full rights as citizens. That was stupid.
We're in the Knesset.
Well, and it's interesting, and this whole, yeah, right, and that's part of this whole dynamic. It's funny, I almost chuckle when people offer solutions to the situation as it is.
Yes.
And it's not because they might not be reasonable,
uh-huh.
but because we have, you talked about prophecy and prediction, we know what's going to happen. We have a written record from Yahweh's inspired prophets. We know what's going to happen. And we can say, well, this could be avoided if this, or this could be avoided if that. And it can't be avoided. We know that this metastasis is going to continue to burgeon, and we know what the result's going to be. And I'm sure that the strange thing is, the ironic thing, I won't say funny, the ironic thing is, so along the way over the next 10, 12 years, 10 or 11 years, there's people going to be perplexed as to how can this be happening? How can this be happening? Well, wait a minute. We tried to do this, and it backfired on us. This is all going to, you know, burgeon and culminate in the Magog War, and we know this.
Yeah.
And I'm sure along the way, people are going to be perplexed as how can this be happening? But it will.
And Kirk, I know that, I mean, and Glenn, I know that you know this, but for all of our listeners, I want to be really careful. We aren't destined to the future that Yahweh predicted. We choose it. Every day, each politician, each person in a position of influence and power chooses the wrong course that pushes us to our own demise. So we aren't destined to it. It's just that we choose it. And even though we choose it, those of us who have observed the Torah, prophets, and Psalms, as Kirk you have and as Glenn you have, those of us who have observed the prophets and Psalms and know Yahweh's perspective and know his revelation of future history, we still have a responsibility, I think, as family, to expose and condemn this stuff. We're not offering solutions. That was the unique thing when I started this program. I said, all right, I think we need to focus on two things. One is exposing that's what's wrong in human, religious, political, military, and economic institutions, and condemn those things that are wrong in those so that people realize they shouldn't put their faith in them and they can walk away from them. But then also expose what Yahweh had to say so they would know once they walk away from one thing where they should go. The decision I made was not to offer people hope in the sense of politics or religion or military. So there are no solutions for those things. And it's not just because Yahweh says so. It's because that just is how far we are away from truth. When people can't even use evidence and reason to associate the terror that is being perpetrated around the world with Islam, what hope is there?
No.
Right, exactly. They're so willfully defiant of the truth. They would rather spin a lie than a truth. You know, they will not admit, no matter how obvious.
Right. And Kirk, how would you respond to Glenn's statement? And I think that would have been in your own statement. I think that we are aiding and abetting that the United States and Europe are co-conspirators in all of this. We're arming them. We're funding them.
It seems to be our philosophy to do so. I mean, they must think they can control them.
We're part of the problem. I mean, we're in bed with them. It's like the United States has joined the mafia of Islam. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. We're having a discussion with Kirk and Glenn about why there is no merit in promoting solutions. You know, if you listen to almost every talk radio program, they're either about Christian perspective and accept Pauline's doctrine and the gospel of grace and everything will be better, or their conservative politics, which is just get rid of those dastardly Democrats and get more Republicans and everything will be better. There is no fix here.
No.
There's no fix. You know, where you would think, guys, that having made a bad situation worse in Afghanistan, made a bad situation worse in Iraq, and made a bad situation worse in Syria by our intervention and our arming the belligerents of those conflicts, that we would have learned our lesson and we wouldn't be sending 10,000 more American troops into the region carrying billions of dollars worth of arms and making a bad situation worse. Why are we doing that? Did we learn anything from Afghanistan, Iraq, at all?
So what do they get out of it? I mean, if Europe and America are the only two places that really act like they want to conquer the world. I mean, China, until recently, never had those aspirations. The Africans didn't. The South Americans didn't. The Indians didn't.
Right.
I mean, they must think that they can control all these things and literally take over the continents that they don't control.
Well,
that's not a conspiracy theory. I'm just talking about just economics.
Yeah. Yeah, if you look at the world conquest, the Brits during the British Empire had aspirations of world conquest, and it was mostly on for economic, monetary reasons.
Sure.
And Muslims before them, both in the first 100 years of Islam and then under the Ottomans, engaged in world conquest. To a degree, Adolf Hitler and the Japanese engaged in world conquest, and as did communists out of the Soviet Union engaged in an attempt at world conquest. And today, the only entity engaged in world conquest happens to be Muslims. I think that it's true that politicians and bankers et al. Are engaged in a game of world control, yeah, but not so much conquest. Muslims are involved in world conquest.
It's more like the English approach. I mean, you know, England knew they couldn't control China by a giant army, or India,
right,
by that matter, so they just captured all of their seaports.
Right, and then they,
you know, they control them.
Then they drugged them to, they took opium, which they had a propensity to like, and they distributed opium, and they drugged really a civilization, and made billions of dollars, yeah,
mm-hmm,
off of the drugging of a civilization. It was despicable what they did,
yeah,
but they knew they, it's even like the American North under Lincoln, when they knew they could not beat the South militarily, they just terrorized them out the South into submission. Islam can't conquer the world, but it sure as hell can terrorize the world into submission. You know, the big rally, which had been millions of people in Germany against Islam, was canceled over the weekend because the Muslims threatened one of the leaders of the rally, and he or she capitulated.
Mm-hmm. Well, right, exactly. So the people are, like, afraid of the Muslims because of violence like that, and it's usually small-scale and up close and personal. I would invoke the old adage that the pen is mightier than the sword. That people tend to think that's a pacifist thing, and it's not at all. It's just a distinction between two different weapons. And, you know, it's also the difference between influence versus power, you know?
Correct.
And in terms of conquest, okay, I'm not sure if you're, it seems to me that certainly, like the UN is an entity that wants to be over the world, if you will. Mm-hmm. And we see the use of the pen or the printing press, you know, in monetary, you know, economic
Correct.
Warfare. So,
Correct.
You know, yeah. So,
and we see propaganda as, I think one of the reasons the world is can't be salvaged, if you really get to this, the number one reason, the core reason that there is no rescue for any human institution or any nation, is that we have indoctrinated rather than educated young people, and particularly in the West, well, throughout the Muslim world too. People have been indoctrinated, not educated, and so the power of the pen has been used to deceive. To rid people of the of common sense, of the ability to be judgmental, to be discriminating, to be discerning. And so you have people responding stupidly, ignorantly, irrationally to most every threat. And I don't know how you resolve any significant societal problem when the preponderance of people are incapable of exercising good judgment and adverse to reason. Welcome back to the Adventist. Again, continuing our discussion with Glenn and Kirk. You know, as we survey these human institutions, whether they're political, government, whether they're banking or international conglomerates, like oil companies who are making a fortune off of the OPEC monopoly and enriching the terrorists, whether it's businesses like Boeing that Lockheed Martin that's making weapons of war that we're not only deploying in the U.S. military to kill people, making them our enemy, but also selling them to those who would have us be destroyed. Now, whether it's the Pope or religious institutions lying to people, providing false hope, we have a real mess, and most people have been dumbed down to the point through political correctness that they're incapable of thinking their way out of the problem. So how can there be a solution when you can't reason with most people? I mean, Glenn, I agree that the pen is a vastly more effective weapon than is a battle group with an aircraft carrier in the midst of it. I think it's a vastly more powerful weapon. However, the pen typically is more effective for good when people are influenced by evidence and reason. The pen can be used for evil when people are ignorant and irrational.
Right. You know, the pen, and even in this day and age, the camera, you know, the point is, yeah, a means of information dissemination, you know, whether it's writing or a printing press or, you know, that sort of thing. Well, before I go here, I wanted to mention, let's not forget the, you mentioned the military. Let's not forget the American Sniper movie controversy this week. That one's going to be, that's like the Pandora's box. It's already open.
Yeah, what is the controversy? I mean, first, from my perspective, and I didn't mention it in the first hour, I think going to a movie that celebrates killing, that justifies murder, and understand that 100% of the hundreds of individuals this actual man murdered were civilians.
Right.
There was none of them that were, this was not in an act of war. We're not at war with the civilian population of Pakistan or Afghanistan. 100% of those he killed were civilians. It was not as an act of war. It was premeditated murder, and there wasn't a single bit of jurisprudence in the whole thing. And to celebrate that under patriotism and, you know, I'm willing to meet my maker and justify every one of those people I shot. I mean, that part of it is just makes me want to puke. But what controversy is there besides that?
Right, right. Well, of course it can't be an act of war because this empire won't declare war. I tend to lean, you know, more towards your sensibilities on this. There are several big issues about this. This man, Chris Kyle, was somewhat controversial, and it was known for a controversy. What probably muddies the waters is with Jesse Ventura. There was this big set to with him and Jesse Ventura, the ex-governor of Minnesota and wrestler.
Right. Ultimate conspiracy theorist. Right.
Right. That'll be, and I'm sure it'll be interesting to see how Alex Jones handles this. You know,
is this a fellow that that challenged Jesse Ventura? Jesse Ventura challenged him, and it was a court case, and Jesse Ventura lost it.
He beat him up and smacked him down, and all that kind of stuff.
Jesse Ventura smacked this guy down, or
he alleged that he beat up Jesse Ventura or something like that. It's all a mess. Right. It's a pathetic mess. But now, I'm curious about him. This movie, which, you know, back a few years ago, you had the movie Hurt Locker that came out just in time to be war propaganda and displaced Avatar at the Academy Awards. Now we have a time when we're redeploying in Iraq. You know, we have another movie extolling war and in this case focused on the sniper, the rootness, tootness, shootness, you know, sniper.
And by the way, this is from the left. I mean, you can't get any further left than Hollywood.
Right.
And so this notion that it's only the right that sponsors war and that the leftists are pacifists is nonsense. When it comes to supporting the military and supporting the military construct in America, both left and right are in lockstep.
Right. It's great. And this will be, I listened to another Green Beret show host who, you know, made the big distinction about this not being murder and on. And it's like, I'm sorry, I have trouble.
No,
you know,
it's absolutely murder. I mean, how could you not call it murder? There's no act of war here. United States declares its troops. There are no troops on the other side. There's no army on the other side. Those guys aren't wearing a uniform. We haven't declared war. There is no war. We invaded the country with the idea of liberating the country. And so everyone we killed was a civilian. And, you know, the Afghanis didn't have a military.
Right.
They were all civilians.
And, you hear all these people being shot in passenger cars and stuff. So I personally have trouble with all this stuff. It's going to be quite controversial. It's even conceivable to me that the death of Chris Kyle could have been a black op, although it's certainly presented differently. But we know that the bad guys sometimes kill their own, you know, if they go off the reservation or if the bad guys want to create a martyr, and then they mock the victim with false posthumous honor just as the very people who killed JFK mocked him posthumously with the honor of an eternal flame in his grave. This guy, they could have whacked this guy, then they lionized him. See, he might have gone off the, I'm thinking he might have gone off the reservation by fomenting this thing with Jesse Ventura, which drew
who
too
was
much attention
the football
to the
player for Arizona
program.
that wanted to become a war hero and then was killed by Pat Tillman. Was killed by deliberately killed by Americans. It was deliberately covered up by the U.S. military, and then they mocked Pat Tillman by honoring Pat Tillman as a military hero when the military killed him. If you read the actual evidence that's been unearthed on the Pat Tillman case, there is no question he was murdered by the U.S. military. Deliberately and on purpose, because he came to realize that what he signed up for was a bunch of propaganda and that we were not helping Afghanistan, we were destroying it.
Yeah, unfortunately, Pat Tillman was horrifically naive in writing what his intentions and his letters to his family. He should have just kept his mouth shut and then gotten home and then opened his mouth.
Yeah, but the problem, though, in the military is that you lose your freedom. When you sign up for the military, you have no freedom. This false notion the military provides our freedom is absolutely idiotic. You join the military, you give up your freedom. He gave up his freedom based upon the lie of the military. In the military, lies all of the time. They gave up his freedom for the lie of the military, got over there, realized that he had been deceived, and of course he wanted out, and they took him out. You know, he was this their great hero that they were trying to lionize, and he figured it out and outed them, exposed and condemned them, and they killed him.
Right.
Now they have, great honors to Pat Tillman when the military deliberately murdered him.
Yes, it's specifically called mocking the victim. And, and this is done, it's entirely possible that, Kyle might have disendeared himself, might have gotten himself in trouble by drawing too much attention to the SEAL situation in his conflict with Jesse Ventura. And so they just decided to make a martyr and a hero out of him, mocking. So they get a good piece of war propaganda, as well as succeed in taking care of that. It's highly speculative and conspiratorial, of course. But,
there's something twisted. A person who can look another person in the eye, as these snipers do, and pull the trigger and kill person after person, not discriminating between men, women, and children, and can kill like that, looking their victim in the eye, it's a rare breed. There's not a lot of people who can do that and not have their soul absolutely destroyed.
Right. Now, I'm aware of, another talk show host who is ostensibly, by all accounts, a very reasonable and rational and responsible human being who takes the exact opposite stance on that. I'm more inclined, I personally don't believe it's possible. Like, it's one thing if you're shooting an enemy colonel or something like that, but when you're picking off, civilians and driving in passenger cars.
If somebody started a war against you, let's say the Taliban had invaded America. The Taliban didn't do anything against America. There's no Taliban member that invaded America. There's no Taliban member that sought out Americans to kill. Prior to us invading Afghanistan. And the fact is, the Taliban was our ally when we used them to oust the Soviets from Afghanistan during the Jimmy Carter administration. So they were our ally. If the Taliban had been very different, if they had been a military institution in a country that could project a force, and they had invaded the United States, and we had to deploy our military to drive them away after they willfully murdered thousands of Americans, then I can see how you can justify the killing of Taliban. But when we invade their country, when they hadn't done diddly squat to us, and we had armed them, making them our ally previously, and then we invade their country, and without any jurisprudence, snipers get to choose who they can kill and do so? Oh, man, that's murder. I mean, you really have to be twisted to take a different perspective. You have to ignore the full context of the conflict.
We justify what we do in the name of our national interests, not our nation per se, but it's in our national interest to go
to kill. Why was it in our national interest to kill 4,000 or 5,000 people in Pakistan and in Yemen using drones? No conviction, no trial, no evidence. Just we want them dead. We think it's in our national interest that we kill them. When in fact, for everyone of them that we kill, we manufacture 100 more enemy.
Yes, but these people have the audacity to live over our national resources. I'm sorry, go ahead, Kirk.
Well, I was just going to say, I know two people that did that for a living, and one of them has terrible dreams every night, he says, he told me,
yes.
And the other one is an alcoholic, so
yeah.
I mean, that's the only way they can deal with what they did. I mean,
yes. Yeah, there's a reason.
Neither one of them are interested in the Torah at all, no matter what I said to them.
No. In fact, I think they almost know that they have been so bad that there's no way that they would ever be welcomed in God's family. That's not true, but it is the consequence of making a habit of killing. That's why the instruction says don't make a habit of killing. They made a habit of killing, and I don't think there's a remedy from that. It scars your soul. It twists you. And Kirk, the thing I don't want to miss here. Okay, you know two people who were snipers. Both of them are messed up. I mean, seriously messed up. Miserable lives. The fact is that there were about 600,000 Americans that engaged in Afghanistan and Iraq. And America has 600,000 troops that are claiming post-traumatic stress. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. We're having a discussion with both Glenn and with Kirk. And fellas, I made a statement earlier that I thought that the root cause of the problems, the propaganda and the success of the propaganda relative to the military towards trusting in economic institutions like the Federal Reserve, people's propensity to be involved in a religious myth that 6 million people flocked to the Pope in the monsoon, or to participate in national elections, zealous as in this country as Republican or Democrat, is that we have dumbed down most people through the educational process, which is rather than being educational now has become indoctrination and political correctness.
I'm kind of not in the same page there as much as I was, even though I have an educational background.
Mm-hmm.
Is I don't think people are quite as dumb as I seem to think they are. Although I won't swear that's true. But the patriotism in this country, and having lived in a foreign country growing up, in Australia, is so great here, and is so powerful both I'm an artist, so I see it in everything from Norman Rockwell to everything. I mean, you cannot get away from the symbols.
No.
It is so overwhelming, this patriotism crap.
Yes, it is so overwhelming.
It is tough to stand up against the military.
Yeah, it is.
It's tough to not put your hand over your heart and, you know, just to get out of there alive. At a ball game, you know.
The flyovers of the military jets, the huge American flag, to put your hand over your heart and stand at attention when they play the national anthem. And then they're talking about, we want to thank all of the service. And then the insurance company that sells insurance to vets, basing their whole thing on that you served us, so we're going to serve you. And I want to tell you, the most corrupt institution in the world today is the military, and the American military may be the worst of a bad lot. You know, it's where sexual abuse runs the highest. A woman is 8 times more likely to be sexually abused in the U.S. military than any place else on earth, and perhaps other than in Nigeria or Syria under Iraq under the Islamic State and Boko Haram. You've got 650,000 Americans claiming post-traumatic stress syndrome and robbing the government of $6,000 a month because they said they're cuckoo because of what they've been subjected to, the lies of the military. It's an institution which has no budgetary control whatsoever. They don't even have an accounting system that that works. They've invaded and broken two countries, claiming that they were protecting America while they invaded and made these countries worse. I mean, how much more do you need to know?
Mm-hmm. How did they convince the generation that grew up in the Vietnam era to send their kids to this military?
Yeah, that's so amazing. If you look at the 1960s, when young people in this country came to realize that Vietnam was a rotten lie, that the domino of theory was stupid, that we weren't making things better in Vietnam, they weren't protecting American rights, we were just belligerents in Vietnam, and we ought not have invaded there. That we made a bad situation worse in Vietnam. And how do we come back and then invade Afghanistan and then invade Iraq twice?
Kirk, the short answer to your question, Kirk, is they didn't. Look at from whence they are drawing the recruits. The recruits aren't coming from the children, you know, the majority of recruits aren't coming from the children of the the generation following World War II is greatest generation, you know, and they're coming out from the Gen Xers or anything like that, or the baby boomers maybe had their time, but the Gen X kids of the Gen Xers and stuff aren't going to the military. Some of the largest military recruiting places are off our shore, from places other than on American.
Yeah, we promise American citizenship and all sorts of economic benefits to those who are not Americans. To commit 5 years to the military. And also in America, most of our recruiting stations are amongst those that are completely disenfranchised, you know, that are struggling to graduate from high school, that have no hope, that are in any inner city, and they're saying, we'll give you a job, you know.
That's not totally true. In my family, they're educated, they've gone to college, and we have... My sister has two kids, and all my cousins have kids that have gone to college down in Alabama, wherever, and they're all in the military, and they praise them for it.
Yeah, I know. It's not universal. That's true. Well, I think the majority are recruited from such areas. Far too many are being recruited from those who ought to know better, and for that, I blame our educational system.